All right, well, welcome everybody to Bang the Knicks podcast. We are here after an exciting win.
Oh my God. 500.
500. Last year, we didn't get our sixth win until my birthday, January 19th. And today, we have our sixth win. We're 6-6, and Porzingis is officially the talk of the NBA. 29 points. What are you, 29 points and 11 rebounds and just a dominating force.
Right.
I mean,
oh my God.
How excited, like, 100% from three, 100% from the line.
Right.
Beautiful day.
Just to get this in there, I know that we're 500 now. According to the Carmelo assessment from 538, we would have negative two wins at this time.
Yeah, I knew that Carmelo assessment was off.
That's right. But who cares about Carmelo, whichever Carmelo? Right now is Porzingis' night. This guy scored 29 points and 11 boards and was phenomenal and won the game, in my opinion. What do you guys say?
He looked great in that jersey, too.
Oh, yeah.
More importantly, he looked great. He looked phenomenal. I'm so excited. The hype is real. That, you know, there was this one guy on the podcast, I don't remember which one of us said it, but some fucking moron said that they thought that Porzingis wasn't ready to have an inside offensive game yet. I don't know what fuckhead said that, but whoever said it was
the
wrong.
People will have to go back
into have to
our
watch
archives,
the
archives.
Yeah, listen to all our
you
other
know,
things.
That's right. We'll get all that extra ad revenue that we get for all these podcasts. Or all of our sponsors would love it. That's why we mentioned that. But the point is, Porzingis can score. He can create for himself. I didn't realize that he can do it. It's like, I don't know what, I can't think of a good, it's like watching, you know, when you create, like having this own little Lilliputian society that becomes, you know, advances to like, you know, the Middle Ages before your eyes, and then all of a sudden it's some futuristic thing. Porzingis is developing at a rapid pace. I mean, you know, he was nobody a few months ago. Now he's clearly the best player in the league, and, you know, I don't know how much more time is going to be left before we sort of abandoned the rest of the NBA and just, as we discussed in the last podcast, just completely adopt, you know, a new name, the Porzingis League, and just abandon the whole format.
Right. I mean, Zach, he's obviously talking a little hyperbole there, but I mean, I agree with the fact that the NBA would probably be named Porzingis in like a year or two, maybe three.
Yeah, you know, I think you're a bit modest.
A month, maybe? Sure.
Maybe,
you know, there's. Did you see the tweets? LeBron James is already considering early retirement. It's already out. He's been making statements about it.
He's afraid, man. He's afraid to get dunked on.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I would be afraid too if I were him.
Yeah, I would be too. I'm. You know what? I'm also as excited as I am. I feel a little bit scared. You know, it's like it's too much. It's like for someone who's used to losing, I don't feel comfortable feeling this excited. How about you guys?
Being a Knicks fan, it's very scary because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, in the past, I feel like we've moved on past the point where we're scared that Dolan is going to do something stupid. So I'm happy about that. Like, I know that Dolan is not going to trade Porzingis for Boogie Cousins.
Thank God.
Right, I mean, which in past regimes of the Knicks, like, that was always kind of the thing that was in
that's
play.
What he would
like,
do, yeah.
Right, it would totally, like, that's is what would happen.
Unless
right
we
now,
could get Jerome James or Eddie Curry out of retirement. But
right, I mean, then all bets are off. But
that's right.
I mean, right now, I mean, things in Knickland seem way calmer and just very, everything seems great. I mean,
Zen-like.
Yeah, right, very Zen-like.
Yeah,
and
very.
People were doubting the Zen Master going in.
I know.
I mean, I was. Yeah, he's getting paid an enormous salary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good thing is,
I mean, he's earning his money right now.
Yeah,
right now,
and you know what? Absolutely. The good news is that's James Dolan's money. It doesn't count towards the salary cap, so good.
That's true.
As soon as I heard that, I was like, great. I guess I thought of it from a finance standpoint, and I was like, great. You're getting around the salary cap in other ways. I mean, will it really work? I don't know. I mean, but, you know, it's like, if the Yankees will obviously spend a lot more than all the other teams, the Knicks can't do that. I mean, I think we've talked about this before, but it's obviously been a horrible problem of the Knicks trying to be like a team that doesn't have a hard salary cap like the Yankees. And it doesn't work. You know, you can't use your the significant revenue that you're getting as compared to the other teams to leverage that. But we kind of did it with Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's working. I mean, the Porzingis trade, it's not even just it's not even just how good he's been, but there's a lot of GMs, I would think, who probably would be like, this guy's great, we got to pick Porzingis, he's going to be amazing, and then been like, you know what, the amount of flack I'm going to get for this, I don't know if I can do it. That's a career-ending move for a lot of guys.
Well, that's kind of why the Lakers didn't pick him. Yeah. Byron Scott came out and said that they didn't have the balls to pick him at number two, and that's
right.
Wonderful for us.
Yeah, what would Kobe
because
have said
we'd be in
him?
This, like, I mean, I don't think D'Angelo's as bad as he's coming off to be, but, like, I mean, he's so light years happier that we have Porzingis than I would be if we had D'Angelo.
Oh, God. I can't.
That's kind of the reason I was reading some of those mock drafts going into it, and I saw some people saying, "Oh, you know, the Knicks might be considering Porzingis at four," and I just didn't think that they would have the balls to pull it off.
No, I didn't.
I just figured they would because they, you know, they would know the backlash. I mean, they knew the backlash that was coming, the Fred Weiss and you know everything that actually came at them.
Yep.
And so they had to know it was going to be a home run. I mean, Phil Jackson had to know, you know?
Absolutely. I wanted to point one thing out that we didn't get to, which is that we won tonight. And I'm not talking about the Knicks. I'm talking about Bang the Next Podcast, because we guarantee to win tonight, and we got that fucking
we
win.
We did.
Right? Did we not?
We did guarantee.
We guaranteed it. Okay?
Oh,
we went out on a limb and said we would win, and we won. You know, I don't think that's fate. I don't think that's an accident.
I think we just predict the future.
That's true. And on any of you degenerate gamblers out there, this is the podcast to listen to if you want to know who's going to win.
We're one for one on our predictions.
That's right. That's right.
No better percentage.
How do we market to degenerate gamblers? Can we, like, is there a hashtag we can use?
Just, okay, here's a tip. AA meetings, go outside of Atlantic City. That's a good option.
Ooh, that's a good idea, yeah.
Try liquor stores really late at night. That's another one. Yeah, I don't know.
You'll just find me there.
Have you ever been to, like, the casino and been to the room where they have all the race betting guys? That's a sight to behold. I mean, that's just... there's just an oozing sense of sadness permeating across that room. And, like, just apathy and failure and depression. But unfortunately, that's not going on in the Knicks locker room anymore. That's over.
That's what used to happen in the Knicks.
Used to be Knicks fans in general, but now
that's right.
We've moved on to, like, Mohegan Sun style.
That's exactly right.
Excitement.
And we don't have, you know, and players like that are J.R. Smith-esque don't have to go out in the club to shake off the sense of failure every night. They can go out and go home and eat a nice meal and go to sleep, and just like Porzingis, wake up in the morning and what does he eat again? Bread with peanut butter and...
and just, like, muscle juice, basically?
Muscle juice. What do you call
bland
that stuff?
Bland chicken.
I forgot what else. What is that bastard eat? Oatmeal. I don't care. Ambrosia is what he drinks, I'm sure. You know?
The fuck is ambrosia?
It's the nectar of the gods, man. Actually, ambrosia is literally the nectar of the gods. I think that's a Greek mythology thing. I could be wrong, but...
no, he's eating 3 steaks... I'm pulling it up now.
See, God, this is crazy, man. Did you guys expect him to be this good this quick?
No,
I mean, I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about, like, a week ago. Sunday.
He's added a new thing every single game, and tonight he added his shot, and it fell all night long. And he was a force. Like, the defenses in the future are going to have to change to guard him. Like, they can't double Melo anymore because he's just wide open all the time. Well, I mean, I hope they double Melo. Keep doubling Melo. If Porzingis is going to shoot 60% from the floor, like, this kid is going to be something else.
Before he was drafted, I watched so many YouTube videos of him, like, back in Europe, and, like, some mixtape videos. My girlfriend will attest to the fact that I know these, like, weird Euro pop songs now, because they go to the Porzingis videos that I watched of like his highlights. It's weird, and I'm like looking for them now, like trying to find out like what these songs are because I like to have them playing in my head.
Well, there's a Porzingis rap song. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, well, I totally heard that one. But I was like big time, like thinking that he was going to be amazing, and I was telling anybody that would listen that I thought that. But even like the rebounding, the things that I'm seeing right now, I thought this was going to be 3 or 4 years from now, not 10 games. I mean, this is it's mind boggling.
We were right. You know, I don't know if the listeners have heard, but we were mentioned in on what was that show with Stephen A. Smith? Who knows? Who knows the name of it? It's on ESPN or one of those
networks.
Fourth take, he said? Whatever. Who cares? But the point is that he was talking shit about us. He said, oh, these guys think that Porzingis is the best. And, you know, he called us out.
Porzingis.
Is a... You know, these guys in this... I can't do an impression of him. You guys know what he sounds like. But yeah, he was talking shit. He thinks he's, you know... He thinks that we exaggerate how good Porzingis is. Well, look, you know, I can't wait till tomorrow, first take. I'm going to be watching it with bated breath to see what he has to say this time. Because, you know, I think that not only was he wrong about the Knicks losing, we promised that they would win. He called us out on that. That wasn't on the show. I was on a personal phone call I got from him. But also, he said that that Porzingis was not as good as expected, you know, and I think he'll be showing up on that.
Ooh, and we're going to have Steve and I on the podcast eventually, so he's going to be able to defend himself against your accusations.
That's true.
Anti-Porzingis bias,
and he's more than capable of doing that, I'm sure. But
for those of you curious, Stephen A. and Brian are dear friends.
That's true. He's been asking to get on the podcast for a little while now, and I don't know. We weren't really sure if he was a good fit, if we really wanted to bring him in as a guest. Mostly because, you know, we all heard about his little tirade over the summer. And, I mean, you can understand based on how we feel over here at Bang the Knicks podcast, what we think of that shit. So, anyway.
Right, we're not going to stand for that kind of stuff. But
hell no.
If he wants to come on and give his point of view,
that's right.
Obviously, at Bang, we're open to perspectives.
That's right. So, we talked about Porzingis, whatever you want to call him. What about the rest of our team? There happens to be, I don't know if you guys are aware, at any point in time, 4 other players in the court and a number of bench players ready to play.
No, I think it's just Porzingis.
You get mistaken at times.
He'd be okay. Sometimes. I mean, he could handle it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's a given. But, you know, Aaron Aflalo was great tonight. He had a very solid game.
Yeah, he played nicely.
He really did. This is what we want from him. We want him to score 15 or more points. We want him to get a handful of rebounds and assists and hit corner threes. You know, that's what he does.
Yeah. 36 minutes, 7 of 15 from the floor, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a team high plus 22.
Yeah, that's great. That's absolutely wonderful.
That's saying something.
Derek Williams, negative 15. Was that to you? He only had 6 minutes on the court, but
that was when they were on their 10-0 run.
You notice one thing is that Vujicic is getting less and less minutes, and that's kind of a good thing.
I think that was going to happen when Aflalo came back. Regardless, I'm surprised to see that Aflalo played 36 minutes. That's a lot for somebody coming off a hamstring injury, but
yeah.
He's okay with it. Robin Lopez is hardly playing at all.
He's not. Yeah, I noticed that too.
Ever.
I don't know why.
Yeah, well, fourth quarter, he's
not in there 18 minutes he played the first half.
A little of it has to do with Calderon because they're trying to wean him off passing to Lopez all the time. And maybe, you know, he could find some new targets if they're not out at the same time. But
I totally agree with that point. You're getting way smarter as the podcast goes forward.
That's true. I'm like the Porzingis of the podcast. I don't know if you got. Would you agree with that?
I would totally agree with that.
I think that's
by podcast 5, you're going to be pretty much.
We're going to have to call it Bang the Zach podcast at that point in time, just like the legal rename. No, look, this is fucked up, man. We shouldn't be comparing me to Porzingis. Even I know that's wrong.
I agree, yeah.
I don't stand in comparison to him. That violates everything this podcast is about to even suggest that. We should all take a moment of silence that we can then edit out about
Brendan can edit out. I don't know that's how to right. do that stuff.
Brendan edits the podcast, guys. I don't know if you knew that, but Brendan is the editor, and he's if you
yeah.
got...
I don't know what Brendan does. I just send I him do any... the MP3. Yeah. I hope right. it all works out, and then I like close it out.
I send Brendan somehow... an MP3. Somehow, about 8 hours later, Brian sends over an 8-track or a record or something.
Yeah, I got it in the mail the next day. He came and swung by my house.
But it all works out, people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, also another
but
point
you,
is
the
that,
listener, that's love right. it. Continue. Sorry.
One more thing saying. I was going to say is that another thing Brendan does is sometimes me, myself, or Brian will say a controversial thing or an upsetting thing, something which the public would be alarmed by or upset or offended by. Normally, that's usually because Brendan sort of egged us on or told us to say it or passed us a note or something like that. So if you find something offensive that we say or do, it was Brendan. That's what I'm trying to say.
I totally agree with what Zach just said. Unless Zach tells it was me, says it was me, then
well,
then I
no,
say that.
Obviously. See, Brendan actually put Brian up to saying that. Believe it or not, yeah, that was really
I
manipulative. But again, on that note, Brian had kind of a controversial theory about Porzingis' performance tonight. Brian.
Did I? No, what was my...
no, Zach had the theory that Porzingis got up to play against the other tall white dude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe tall white wasn't my dude. Theory. Look, you know, I could see him having a little culture shock coming here, and, you know, and everyone around him's blonde-haired Latvian people, and then all of a sudden you're in a diverse country, and, you know, it's a culture you don't... You know what I mean?
I don't know how much of a culture shock it was, though, because he had cornrows and he's all about World Star, and so he knew exactly what the NBA culture was going
to
be like.
Yeah, but you sent a kid from Scarsdale down to East New York to tell him that there's no culture shock, you know?
Very true.
He might have cornrows, but I don't think the cornrows are going to help him adjust. But anyways, the point is that, you know...
I actually think he was doing... he had a different type of culture shock, though. He was, like... the previous night, he had the culture shock of being guarded by Anthony Davis. And in this game, he was like, these dudes are nowhere close to Anthony Davis. I can take these guys whenever I want. And so it was like, ah. He was trying to be aggressive versus Anthony Davis, and he was a little bit overmatched. And tonight, he was like, I'm not overmatched at all. I can take these guys whenever I want.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. I think that maybe it's like... He was thinking of all these larger-than-life NBA players and how he conceptualizes them and what they mean to him. I mean, and Anthony Davis, he's like, wait, this isn't actually what I thought it was like. I mean, these are real people. Like, if you ever met a famous person, you're thinking, oh, my God, it's so amazing. And then you meet them, you're like, oh, they're just a person. Okay.
Yeah, they're normal human beings, and they can play basketball.
Right.
And Porzingis
like, you know, honestly,
is like, oh, I can play basketball better than them.
Yeah, I had that experience the other day. I was walking down Greenwich Street in Lower Manhattan, and someone walked up to me and go, oh my God, it's Zach from Bang the Next Podcast. And they realized that, I'm just a normal person. I'm not, you know, some...
But then they were like, he's not a normal person, because...
Well, but that's kind of a bad example.
Right, I agree.
Obviously, I'm not a normal person, but I don't think that has anything to do with, you know, being my newfound fame and frankly, fortune. As a member of Bang the Next Podcast. But
Wait, you're getting checks?
Well, you guys aren't getting paid?
Brendan, you're not.
I'm editing
multiple
sources. I'm not getting
Brendan,
any checks.
All right. Zach, we'll talk later. Don't say anything else.
Yeah. You saw what happened to Kevin, right, Brendan?
Yeah. He hasn't been around anymore.
That's why he's not around.
He started asking about the checks, you know?
That's
and
right.
Also, we heard that he had a side job at this restaurant or something. So
he's got.
You can't be working
this.
Side jobs.
Oh, this is fun. Yeah. Well, when you know, honestly, Langston Galloway had a decent game today. Keeps doing what he's doing. Kevin Serafin still he has become a good backup center. I like Kevin Serafin. I'm very happy we have him too.
Kylo Quinn, not very many minutes.
No minutes, as far as I
know. No minutes, yeah, never mind, no. I just saw that.
I don't know why. Why didn't
Weird.
He get minutes?
That was very strange. I was looking for him in the middle of the game. I was like, why haven't we seen Kyle yet?
They even gave Sasha a couple minutes so he could miss a three-pointer.
And probably let somebody drive the lane. He got one steal. Okay, that's okay.
Did he? That's good. We'll take it. That's fine.
Take a steal.
I mean, look, we won.
I think I remember
okay?
that steal, too.
And we won because of us, really. It's a team effort. And by team, I mean not the Knicks. I mean us.
Well, I was going to go and talk about the Knicks. But I think that they actually looked very comfortable today. They were passing beautifully.
Yeah.
A lot of their plays actually looked like they had practiced it and they knew where people were going to be. There were a couple times when they were coming down the floor and, like, Jose would point and be like telling somebody to get to a spot, and that kind of stuff slows them down to the point where they can't run it efficiently. But when they run it efficiently out of a timeout, it's great. It's absolutely wonderful. And so I'm excited for when we have that kind of offense more often, because I think we're gonna be playing very well at this level. Hopefully not the fourth quarter again.
No, but look, you know,
one of the takeaways I'm going to take, besides the background like swimming noise that I'm hearing right now. Do you guys hear that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that.
Is that like a? All right, it sounds better. But one of the takeaways that I did take was the fact, and I believe, and I don't like to take things from Clyde Frazier, but I think that he mentioned it during the game, is that the triangle seems to not be an issue anymore, that this team seems way more comfortable running the triangle offense. Like, people basically understand where they're supposed to be. And that half-court offense, when they don't get the fast break, it seems more and more like people understand exactly the principles of this Phil Jackson offense and
I know.
What people need to be. Yeah. So it's great.
It really puts into perspective what it was like. Imagine, okay, look at these guys in this team together. Imagine trying to get J.R. Smith in that system, you know?
Oh, my God.
You know, imagine, okay, what's the most hungover you've ever been, okay? Now imagine trying to run the triangle.
There's no way I can do it. Not a chance.
No, that's not going to happen.
That's true. But, man, we got some smart players on the team.
Jerry, that was Grant. One of his big things for the offseason was to bring in guys with high basketball IQs, and he did.
He really did.
I wouldn't have put Kevin Serafin on that list of high IQ guys, but he is proving me wrong.
Yeah, I think he is, and Lance Thomas too. I think we got a lot
of smart
guys.
Yeah, Lance developed nicely.
He really did. He's been good. You got him in the OKC trade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I consider him a high IQ player. He doesn't really make too many mistakes. That's good enough for me.
He travels a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a very international guy.
Lance Thomas?
I was just kidding.
That's a good point.
I was trying to make a pun on
he travels all across the world.
I didn't know Lance did that, but...
I don't know. But yeah, you're right.
Definitely travels all across the basketball court.
Look, I know I'm usually the wet blanket on the podcast, but I do feel like today is a time when we can really just be thankful. To talk about what we're thankful for. We got a week before Thanksgiving, but look, now is the time to be thankful for what this team is and how much better we have it than we had it last year. All of our stupid predictions and all the, frankly, the insanity that Brian has brought to the table in terms of his predictions for the team are all coming to fruition. It's happening. It's really happening.
44 wins.
We're going to win 44 games. Come on.
I think you're right.
You guys have to believe that now. We're 500 now.
If we're five, yeah, I know. Yeah,
Porzingis has played 31 minutes today. He's going to be a beast. No one can stop him.
Think about it when he's playing like 70, 80 minutes a game.
What about 90, dude?
I don't know why I stopped at 80. You're right, though. God, though. Man. What? Okay. Okay, so one of the things I want to say is that, how do you guys feel about Jose Calderon? We've been shitting on him nonstop from the beginning. There was a thread on the New York New York Knicks subreddit today about how he's really turned it around. And what's that? Did you guys read it? There's some statistic they're citing for him.
I mean, I'm chalking it all up to him being in a shooting slump at the start of the season, and he's out of it now. Like, Melo was in a shooting slump at the start of the season. Porzingis was in a shooting slump at the start of the season.
What was that?
Season. I lied. But, like, people were shooting poorly.
You know, Porzingis was in it was a show of humility to the league. Have you guys ever seen the movie?
He's easing himself in.
What's that movie? The Zulu Warrior, Shaka Zulu. You know the movie I'm talking about? Brian might know. The movie that, it's about the Zulu warriors and their rebellion against the British. And one of the things that Shaka Zulu does is he sends in a bunch of troops to you know, he has a lot more troops. He sends some of them in, and they just get mowed down by the British. But he uses that to measure how powerful the British were. You call it a scoring slump by Porzingis at the beginning of the season, but I think it was a clever tactic to measure, you know, his opponents. Discuss.
Jose, I was going to bring up the Jose thing.
Right, we were talking about Calvin.
I'm sorry,
but
Jose.
I totally
29 of his last 34 two.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
29 of his last 34 2-pointers.
But back to Calderon, he's not an NBA level starting guard. Like, he can do some good things, he can hit some shots, but just when he plays big minutes, it's just depressing. It makes me a depressed person when I see Calderon playing big minutes. I'm like, I can't deal with just watching other NBA guards just blow by him.
Yeah, you're
constantly.
Right.
Yeah, 31 was a lot for him tonight, and Jaren Grant only played 13. But Dirk's going on the whole, like, if you're playing well, I'm going to keep you in the game tactic. And I like that. I respect that. Because it's like, you don't deserve minutes because you have a name that deserves minutes. Like, obviously,
yep.
Melo's going to get minutes because he is the most talented basketball player on our team.
Second. Nah, he's, you know, look, let's give credit where credit's due. He's an amazing... I believe in Melo still. Do you guys still believe in Melo?
I still do. I think we have a chance at something with him, especially the way that we're playing now, add another player next offseason. I don't see any reason why we can't be contending.
I believe in Melo. But do you guys believe that Derek Fisher has some weird kind of like beard trimmer that he has like a different like length of his beard or like what's?
I just don't think he trimmed it before this game. I think he just let it go.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've heard that he's been borrowing Matt Barnes' old razor every few nights. That's right. Now once every few nights, depending on where he's staying, he'll have a Matt Barnes goatee. I don't know if you guys caught that.
I really want that drama to turn into something. Like, I want Matt Barnes and like I want to be at a Grizzlies game and Matt Barnes to like go and throw a punch at Derek. Like,
it's
that
true.
Would be absolutely hilarious. I would love that.
That would be
because it would start like a brawl, like a full, like our bench would clear and then Memphis's bench would be like, dude, this you've been on our team for like a month. Like, what is going
Who
on?
Win? Who would win?
We would. We have the Porzingis God. Are you kidding me?
Okay, but realistically,
he would
win?
Smite the fuck out of Matt Barnes.
Oh, yes. That's it, baby. That's bang at its core.
Okay, right but there. Look, they got Zach Randolph. He's like their enforcer. They got Tony Allen. I wouldn't want to fuck with him.
No, that's true. I would not want
Marcus
to fuck
Gasol's
with Tony
a big
Allen.
Guy, too. I don't know.
Yeah, actually, but Porzingis.
Fat young Marcus Gasol is even more intimidating.
I don't know. I think Melo could. Melo kind of seems like a bitch.
He seems a bit mellow. No, I think actually, to be totally honest with you, I think Melo is an under. This is so out in the weeds, but I think that Melo probably would be a tougher person to fight if you actually had to fight somebody. Uh-huh. I actually think that he is. He just is one of those guys that doesn't look that strong and athletic. If you talk to NBA superstars like Kobe and LeBron. They say that he is the least favorite person for them to guard. That he is just so...
Well, yeah, that's because
like
of his offensive
pushes,
moves and
yeah.
shit.
His like, offensive moves are...
I feel like he's not as aggressive of a person as Matt Barnes, you know? Matt Barnes is like, I'm going to be in your face kind of thing. And
He's evil. And he's an evil
yes,
man.
Yes. He's a very angry...
Yeah, people on the race...
Mello is just Mello.
That's right.
Mello did the, he sent out a message to the people of Paris after the attacks, like 3 days after the fact, and he like, responded, the last thing he wrote was, stay Mello.
Oh, wow.
It was like, that's what he was saying to the people of Paris.
Was there a 7 in it?
Stay Mel, yeah, no, stay Me 7-0.
Did he really stay Me 7-0?
Right, that's what his message to the people of Paris
wow.
was.
I'm a little upset
right.
about that.
Yeah, that's
stay meh 7-0.
That's kind of a little bit classy, really.
When I first saw that hashtag, that's actually how I pronounced it. I was like, for like 2 weeks too, until I realized that it was like Mello. I was like, me 7-0. Why does he keep saying me 7-0? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, that's funny. I used to know a guy that thought Patrick Ewing's name is Patrick Ewing.
That's pretty funny, actually.
I like that.
It's like a Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
Star Wars jet.
So, he's yeah.
The ultimate Ewok.
Man. Well, what else do you guys have to say about the game tonight?
I wanted to talk about the refs. There were a lot of calls tonight that I did not like, and a lot of calls in most of the games this season that I have not liked on both sides of the floor. And I wanted to ask you guys, as older NBA fans, are the refs worse this year, or am I just paying more attention to it now?
Well, I'll say this. I think that they've always been shitty, but they're better at being shitty than they've ever been before. I think that the league has been okay. I'll put it this way: if you look at any organization, every organization has like a myth of what they're supposed to be doing, right? So, what's a professional sports league about? I mean, they're not there because they love basketball and taking balls and bouncing them and putting them into nets. That's not why they're there. They're there to make money, okay? So I know that, and they have these two sort of different incentives pulling at each other. One is the incentive that it's a mass marketed game that people are watching it from all over the world and analyzing it and paying close attention to it, and that the people rely on it. Whether we're talking about casual fans like you and me, or degenerate gamblers like Brian, who spends his entire family's fortune every game, you know, betting on the Knicks to win. So the point is that people are paying. People are paying very close attention to what they're doing. While at the same time, there are strong financial incentives to let certain teams do certain things at certain times. So, for example, it's obviously how much money do you make by selling out a big time arena in the playoffs? That's a lot of money. Okay, that's not a trivial amount of money. That's millions of dollars for each extra game that happens. So pushing series longer, that's worth a lot of money to you. It's a slippery slope phenomenon, you know. So you guys remember the big controversy that came out a couple years ago with what's the name of that referee? Do you guys recall?
Billy Donovan?
No. The guy who came out saying who came out
was Billy Donovan, the coach of Donaghy. That's what I mean. Billy Donovan's the coach of the
Tim Donaghy.
Thunder. Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe. Let's talk more about this next podcast. We'll get back into it, but. Anyways, the point I'm making is that it's a slippery slope. If you start manipulating with the game a little bit in order to make more money, which you obviously have strong incentives to do, you would maybe do it in other areas. So I think that maybe there was a time where it was manipulated a little bit, you know, to push to more playoff games, to get big market teams to win at certain points in time. And that I think a lot of the time, it's conditioning to get viewers to feel like it's legitimate. And also at the same time, it's not like we're watching the World Wrestling Federation, because we would know it. You know, you can't just do bullshit calls all the time because
people are
looking at the game. But we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to LeBron James getting more calls.
But that's what I'm frustrated about.
It's fucking stupid.
Why the fuck does James Harden get the calls when he's driving the lane?
Fair.
It's obvious he's going for
that's
the foul.
Right.
It's
that's
so
right.
Blatantly obvious that that's his goal. He's flopping. It's fucking.
It's because we've been conditioned to be okay with it as fans.
It seems like such a fixable thing. So many people are
just don't make the
angry
fucking
about
call.
It. But
it's,
for but,
well, look
but,
at politics. But, look at the elections. I mean,
right. That's such a good analogy.
If you look
because
at
it's
political,
so much related to
it's
that.
The same thing. Look at the
because
political
it's
elections.
Like a
there's certain
it's
candidates.
An Assad.
That's right. There's certain candidates in every election cycle who are the establishment candidates, and the media will talk about them. They'll overlook their mistakes. They'll sort of they might criticize them and do stories that are negative about them. But ultimately, it's framed from their perspective. Is Hillary Clinton going to make it this year? What's going to happen to her? It's sort of framed from their point of view. They're given a certain privilege that we don't give to other candidates. The focus is, are they going to succeed? Are they going to be good? And in the same way we talk about, will LeBron James get his superstar foul this game? Well, fuck that. He shouldn't get a fucking superstar foul. The shittiest bench player should be treated exactly the same way as LeBron James. And to the extent that that's not happening, it's a miscarriage of justice. It's not fair.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Right. I totally agree with that. But that's it's 90% that. It's 10%. Like the pitcher in baseball, like a Greg Maddux, that like the umpire knows that they know what they're doing and they're gonna kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. Where like a guy like Porzingis, they're not gonna give him the benefit of the doubt, like going up, like straight up on a guy like driving into the basket, right, that sort of thing. But like you're right. I mean, like the superstar. Yep. I mean, it's totally out of control. I mean, there's a part of it that's understandable, but it's reached a level that's totally unacceptable, I think, at this point.
There's a reason why the Spurs dressed up as, what's his name, and all made fun of him during Halloween. You know, that one referee, I forgot his name. But
Joey Crawford,
right. Now, look at it this way. Do you guys recall when the Spurs beat the Heat a couple years ago?
Mm.
Look at when they beat the Heat. They had the attitude of a team that just had to get way ahead in order to have a chance to win. Every time they won, they just got way ahead. They left no room for error, because I don't think that referees do bullshit calls, but I don't know this for a fact, but I would not be surprised to find out that they get directives from some source in some sort of subtle way that or they learn based on being part of an institution through institutional knowledge and of having this experience of working in the league for a long time, what kind of side they're supposed to do for different kind of calls. And what way they're going to kind of have to go. Like, I think it's 90% legitimate, maybe 95% legitimate, and then a small percentage WWF, basically.
That's so fucked up, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to believe that, because that just taints the shit out of the game of basketball.
Yes, but you know what?
Like,
Hulk
even
Hogan
10% is 10% too much.
I agree.
To be fucking... Like, oh, LeBron needs to get this extra call, call it. Like, I get it, like, if LeBron, if you miss a call on one end of the floor, you make a, like, you end up calling two fouls to even it out. Like, I get that. I don't like it, but I get it. But calling a foul because LeBron is LeBron or James Harden is James Harden is just, that's disgraceful. Like, because he gets paid $20 million, he should get a fucking extra, like, the touch on his hand. Like, the Porzingis on Kobe foul in the Laker game. When I fucking hate the foul that's, like, the ball is out of his hand, and you touch the guy's hand afterwards. It's like, that didn't affect the shot at all. Not one bit.
If anything, it should be the opposite. If anything, it should be
Kobe's fault that he fouled Porzingis.
Yeah, that's right. No, I mean, I think he should go to jail. No, what I mean is that... no, but seriously, I think that they should be harder on the big star players. I don't think they should be easier on
them. Definitely. Like, you guys should be more aware of your... Like, travels should be called on the fucking point. You're a superstar.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see someone do, like, a sketch comedy thing where it's like, you take, like, DeMarcus Cousins and throw him up against a bunch of 10-year-olds. And he just does bullshit calls and flops the entire time against him.
That would be an incredible reality show, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Like, the point is that they're already better. These are already the best players. Why do they get... You know, really, it's financial.
Right, but it's,
think about
like,
it. It's market incentive. These guys get so much money through them from all the other deals. Like, you know, these players make more money off of the endorsements than by anything else. And frankly, if you look at the net worth of what they bring to the organizations versus what they get paid, these max contract players, they're getting underpaid significantly by factors of 5 or 6. Tim Duncan,
that's 100% true. They're getting way underpaid. A guy like LeBron, I mean, the fact that he's getting paid with the Cleveland Cavaliers, like, he's worth probably 10 times that much. Like, when you look at how much value he brings to that franchise, it's ridiculous.
I know.
It's not even...
But you can see how, you know, that gives him a sense of entitlement. He has his brand he has to maintain. I mean, look at the way the financial world works. You know, you have established businesses or investment vehicles that people have put a lot of money into, industries that people have put a lot of money into, and for the sake of stability... Those are preserved. The political levers are moved, and ways of making sure that all these people's investments and time and the establishments of everyone else's money that's surrounding it, and all the other the entire system itself that's incorporated is preserved and has remained stable. So in the same sense, what if LeBron James just collapsed next year? Well, all that branding and marketing and everything associated with him would be diminished in value, and a lot of people across the league own that. You know, the league is invested in the identity of the league is invested in him. So that's what I'm saying is a lot of it is financial and incentive based. And yeah, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. But in the same way, our criminal justice system is bullshit. You know. But again, I'm an attorney, and I was just kidding.
It's all bullshit, man.
Nah, man. No, look, we have a lot of integrity. Actually, I do say this, and this is a total digression, but my opinion, after going to law school and practicing law, the legal system is not all bullshit. For a variety of reasons, it's not nearly as corrupt as I thought it would be going into it. It's more legitimate than you'd imagine.
Do you guys?
That's good to hear.
Do you guys think that the league would be better off? Do you think it would be better financially if we didn't have these issues with James Harden getting all these calls and the superstar treatment?
No, that's my
treatment.
Point. The league would be way worse off financially without that.
But why is it beneficial had a brain fart.
Why
is it beneficial that LeBron gets these calls?
I tried to explain it a minute ago. Maybe that wasn't clear.
I understand with LeBron to a certain extent.
I get that point.
People come to a game, they want to see LeBron. I do not get the fact someone like James Harden who lives on the foul line.
Here's the thing. We're all team fans. Most people are not team fans, they're player fans, or at least a huge percentage of them are. And also a lot of the residual income that the league gets from jersey sales, from co-branding, from marketing that they get to license and get money from whenever the players do it, that requires the star power. The NBA has much more star power than other leagues because you can see the players' faces, you can see who they are, they're always present. And if you have stars that are eliminated, if you have a constant cycling of in and out of players, you lose that. So,
but it's not like they would be playing worse if they weren't getting those calls. They're still going to be putting up 30 points a night, and they're still going to be playing dominantly and making sweet passes and awesome plays on the floor.
Maybe.
That's not going to change because they're not getting a foul call.
No, because here's the thing you're missing. These guys know they're going to get the calls. They play around those calls. I don't think James Harden's that good. I never thought James Harden's that good.
I mean,
imagine
he can hit
three,
but everything, the rest of his
right.
he scores 25 points
good.
A night on free throws alone.
That's right.
That's
most of these guys earn their points on free throws. Let me tell you this. I read a book when I was a kid that really changed my life in two ways. It was the autobiography of Wilt Chamberlain. First of all, it taught me that I read the book, and I didn't know that you could lie in a book. Now, I was 7 years old. But this is the first book I realized that adults lie and that they lie in print. Because this guy is a pathological liar. You know what he claims the game, the day he scored over 100 points in the game? He goes, I knew I was on that day because I went to an arcade and I broke every single record on every game in the arcade.
Just
an
that
example.
Happened.
But the other
that
thing
was
I
true,
learned
though.
Was
I agree with that.
But no,
Porzingis
he said,
could do it.
He talks, obviously. But he talks about how the league changed the game for Jordan. That, you know, it was always centered around big men, and they changed the game. They made the game harder for him, and they made it easier for Jordan. And that, you know, what they did is they wanted to make it so that it wouldn't be so big man dominated. They made it more revolving around fouls. A lot of other things in terms of other rule changes I can't think of off the top of my head. But the point is that if you didn't have this fouling mechanism as being such a driving force in the league, what if we adopted the you shoot one and then you shoot the other, and if you don't make the first one, you don't get to go, you know? Well, that won't solve it entirely because you'll have even more hack-a-shack.
It's like the college thing.
Yeah, but the point is that...
That would solve some problems, I think, though, but...
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, but the point is
I don't know how much that would actually change anything if...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
If not, just increase the amount of free throws people make.
That's okay. Fair enough. But the point I'm trying to make
but
is
it would
that
it would decrease putting somebody on the line,
It might be less
it would change
risky
them
to do
it.
It
but anyway, but
that's what I'm trying to say.
Right, I agree with.
But the
continue.
Point is that if you had it so that there was less incentive to get to the foul line, if it was harder to get to the foul line, if there was a good chance that you're going to go up and do some retarded shot that you know isn't going to go in, and you won't get the foul called on you, you might not do it. And guess what? You might have to play team basketball like the Spurs do, pass the ball around, get open shots, and play beautiful basketball.
Maybe is that less exciting, though? Like,
I think it's more exciting, but not
exactly. Me too.
Are casual viewers. We're not casual viewers. We're like drug addicts. Okay?
So is a casual viewer, like, do they really enjoy seeing DeMar DeRozan go and make a shitty contested jump shot?
No, they enjoy eating nachos and looking at Kim Kardashian down there and in the front row, and you know.
Then why doesn't the league just fucking make it look pretty?
It's the same thing as
anything else.
I
would buy more shit if I would go to more games if I got to see beautiful basketball. But well, I know I'm gonna go see, like, I want to go see a Knick game because they're actually playing like a real team. They're passing the basketball. They're actually like in a legitimate system. They know what each other is doing on the floor. I don't want to go watch Carmelo ISO for 40 minutes. Like, that's
you're
fucking
different, Brendan. Though you're smart. Most people are not that smart.
That's true.
That's the problem.
Yep, but it's
people are dumb. People are dumb. People think that, like, James Harden going one-on-one with, like, four other dudes standing around,
yep,
like, is going to be a winning basketball situation long-term. And it's, yep, really, you know, that was a winning, and this is totally not the same case, but, like, Jordan, people think one by himself, and they're like, oh, you could be like Jordan. James Harden's obviously far from being Jordan, and Jordan didn't play any, you know, he played in an offense like the triangle offense, yep, which is nothing like that. But so there's this weird dichotomy.
Jordan's,
like, people,
and you know,
like,
Jordan's the second best player ever to play in a triangle offense. But go ahead, continue, Brian.
Ooh, that's a bold statement. Could that, like, get us some controversy, maybe?
Dude, Porzingis is the GOAT. Like, just accept it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I forgot that this is the Porzingis podcast. But, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan, obviously, in the triangle offense, we've seen, like, great players play in the offense. But there's a lot of people in current, you know, 2015, they see a James Harden-led offense, and they think that's, you know, James Harden is this incredible offensive player, but when you really, like, count everything up and you look at the defense, the sieve that he is defensively, and the things that,
oh,
just
I saw
him
a highlight, it was hilarious. Sorry, continue.
Oh yeah, just like even kind of the thing we were talking about, how Roy Hibbert will get not a lot of rebounds, but his team will out rebound the other team. It's the devil is in the details of the statistics, mm-hmm, you know. So James Harden, he's a great player on the Oklahoma.
He's not a devil.
Well, he's not a devil, but on Oklahoma City, he was a great third player. Is he ever gonna win the title as a first option? I don't think so. I mean,
no,
I can't ever see that happening.
I mean, he's doing literally what we want Derek Williams to do. James Harden is doing what we want Derek Williams,
yep,
to do as a sixth man is be athletic, drive the lane, make some threes, and get fouled. That's literally all we want him to do.
Right, and you know, back
and
to
he's
the
not
Knicks,
even doing a good job at
Derek
that.
Derek Williams, he's not doing too good right now.
He's not getting minutes. I don't really want to spend time talking about him.
All right.
Yeah, it's tough. There's only so many minutes to go around, so.
I know.
Yeah, and I mean, if other people are playing well, you want to play them, and, you know, he was negative 15 on the floor. Like, it's not like he's playing defense.
Yeah, our minute distribution was really interesting, actually, if you think about it, this game. Because we got Kevin Serafin. Basically, we gave most of them to Kevin Serafin and Langston Galloway. You know, and then we've played our starters a lot. We barely played Raul Lopez, not a lot. And we gave Jerian Grant a decent amount of minutes, but we just didn't. We mostly played our starters more because I think what I'm driving at is that I think Porzingis' versatility really allows for a lot more flexibility in the lineup.
Well, this is one of the first, I think, the first game where Fisher played Porzingis basically the entire first quarter. I think he took him out with maybe a minute left in the first quarter. So that's something different that we haven't actually seen.
Yep, that's true. Man, 29 points, 11 rebounds. What can I say?
It's the beginning of something big. I'm excited.
That's true.
This is the start, guys.
Christmas is right around the corner, but you know what?
You mean Kristaps?
That's what I meant.
Kristaps Smith.
But the second coming, and to our Jewish listeners, the Messiah himself may have already come.
Oh, nice. I like, we're so multicultural here.
That's true.
I did the Reddit basketball gift exchange this year, and the guy got me a Porzingis jersey, so I got it the other day. Oh, that is so sweet. So I'm pretty hyped about it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So thanks, dude. I don't know your username, but and you're probably not going to hear this. So.
Oh, they'll hear it through the grapevine, you know. Maybe, you know what it is? They might not hear it on the NBA subreddit, but they'll certainly hear it from one of their friends at work at the office.
Yes, of course. Because that guy in Golden State is totally hanging out with people Knicks fans.
Here's the thing, right? We covered a number of issues that weren't Knicks related. I would imagine that our audience will accurately reflect the subject matter we cover, so don't be surprised if there's a whole lot of non-Nick fans that start chiming in and, you know, on our emails and Reddit inboxes. So be ready.
We technically covered the entire NBA today by talking about the referees.
Yeah, we did. That's true. Eat your heart out.
Every team is angry at the referees. So that's it.
That's right.
That was a great talk, by the way.
Yeah, I think so too, guys. Well, I think that about wraps it up for today's podcast. You guys got anything else to say?
Fuck the Nets.
Fuck the Nets, all right.
I agree with that. Fuck the Nets. And we're 500.
That's right.
We've 6 wins. This is, it's good to stop and smell the roses, Knicks fans.
That's right.
That's what I would say.
Yep.
It's a good time. It's a good time right now.
You're damn right. All right, well, I guess that has been episode 4 of Bang the Knicks podcast. We look forward to making more of them for you guys.
Porzingis God for life.
Bang, baby.
Bye-bye.